Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Another huge sporting event in Fargo today. Winner to the Frozen Four, St. Cloud State and Minnesota go at it. And joining us from the rink live, Jess Myers. And Jess, you're enjoying all the sights and sounds of Fargo.
You know, this is a sneaky fun town. I did a little survey before I got here. I did a story for the rink live. With a lot of people that have either played in Fargo or grew up in Fargo, guys like Danny Ehrman, you know, used to be a great Gopher player, played for the Wild a little bit. He's a Fargo guy. And I said, what are your best places to go if you're coming from out of town? Where should you see? Where should you eat? What should you see? All of that. Yeah. I got some great recommendations. This has been a really, really good, really fun host for this tournament. And, of course, having three Minnesota teams, Minnesota State, Mankato, St. Cloud State, and the Gophers all here, didn't hurt because you got a lot of folks who can drive here from not too far away. So attendance has been good. It's been a fun tournament.
Yeah, and Fargo Moore had an important area, obviously, here in the upper Midwest. And the one thing I've always enjoyed about Fargo and my trips through there, years ago covering the NCC and making, you know, the winter trip to watch men's and women's hoops in Fargo and in Grand Forks, is even way back in the day you could play blackjack in Fargo, if memory serves. That was kind of cool, too.
Well, I haven't done any of that, but I will tell you, Steve, the Fargo Film Festival is going
on. Oh, yeah!
And the, you know, the classic Fargo Theater with the marquee that, you know, you see on all the postcards from here. I went there last night. They showed The Princess Bride, you know, classic movie from 1987, great comedy. And after it was all over, Cary Elwes, the star of the show who played Wesley, comes out, does an hour Q&A, tells some fantastic stories about working with Andre the Giant and working with Billy Crystal and learning how to fence for the sword fighting season. I mean, just a fascinating talk. And in Fargo, North Dakota, of all places. I mean, you know, just, this town really rolls out the red carpet for events like this, and it's been fun.
Yeah, and quick story. I was trying to get Jazz Friday night on the Lake Show. I was sitting in for Henry Lake, and he's like, well, I'm going to the film festival. And he said, well, why don't we do it today? And I'm thinking, Jazz Myers is a man for all season, you know, taking in films and covering hockey. I mean, you got it all covered. But I will say this about The Princess Bride, one of my wife's favorite movies of all time. She loves that film. That's really cool.
And I'll tell you this. You haven't really seen The Princess Bride until you've been in a theater full of people who are obviously big fans of this movie.
Yeah.
And you've heard an entire theater recite in unison, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Great time.
All right, let's turn to the regional. This was really interesting on Thursday night because St. Cloud State takes care of Minnesota State, old rivalry going back to the NCC days and all these sports. They're now Division I foes, Minnesota rivals, get all of that. Then Minnesota takes on a school called Canisius. Minnesota, an overwhelming favorite. And the underdog, if memory serves, had a 1-0 lead in that game and a 2-1 lead. And the Holy Cross tweets were flying on Twitter.
And And of course, you know, we're in the Red River Valley. We're in Fargo. We're not in Grand Forks.
Right.
But man, oh man, a lot of Canisius fans who decided to wear green to the game. That was really interesting. Anytime the Griffins would score, there seemed to be this whole, I called it an emerald army that would stand up and make it be heard that they were pulling for the underdogs. So then the Gophers come back. They score 9 goals. They win going away. Bryce Brodzinski gets a hat trick. And everybody thinks, okay, that was the 1 versus the 16 matchup. You expect to score, see 9 goals in a game like that. Well, Steve, I don't know if you saw the scores yesterday, but the Big Ten, which has been much maligned for 10 years now because they haven't won a national title. None of the Big Ten teams have won a championship in the 10 years that it's been a hockey league. And everybody says, oh, Big Ten hockey is a joke. None of the teams are any good. Well, Ohio State plays Harvard yesterday. Buckeyes win 8-1. Penn State plays Michigan State yesterday. Michigan Tech. And the Nittany Lions win 8-0. Michigan plays Colgate yesterday, and the Wolverines win 11-1. I mean, these are like, you know, what you expect from the first round of the Class A girls tournament if it's, Hermantown versus Mankato East or something like that. So the Big Ten is looking really, really strong. They outscored, in 4 games, the Big Ten outscored their opponents 36-4, which is just crazy. Now, I don't know if that's sustainable. I mean, you know, Michigan and Penn State will play each other. Something's got to give there. I don't know if the Gophers are going to put up 9 goals against the St. Cloud State team. In fact, I would guess they probably aren't because St. Cloud has been really good defensively. They haven't given up a goal in a couple games. A guy named Jackson Castor, who's, you know, they've kind of been rotating their goalies and kind of trying to figure out what they're doing goalie-wise, and Jackson Castor has taken over that job and played really well. So that's what Bob Motzko's message to the Gophers was the Huskies are going to try to shut you down defensively. And I think a lesson that the Gophers learned against Canisius was in the first period they tried to do a lot of that fancy passing between the legs, behind the back, real pretty highlight reel stuff, and it didn't work. And you can't really do that in the playoffs. You have to play a hard, gritty game. You go to the net, you hack away at the puck until you see the red light. Once they started doing that, things turned around, and I think that's the kind of game you're going to see today between these two teams.
Yeah, and Bob Motzko has ties to both programs, I understand.
Yes, there's a couple of ties there. You know, Bob played for the Huskies. He coached the Huskies for, you know, more than a decade. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Steve, Herb Brooks. He actually coached both of these teams at one point in his career. The rink in St. Cloud is named after him, and he led the Gophers to 3 national titles as well. So, these are like first cousins that are rivals in just about everything. There's the proximity. There's, 30-plus years of history of great games. They have played each other in the NCAA playoffs once before in 2014 in St. Paul. Gophers won 4-0 and went on to go to the national championship game where they lost to Union. That was the Gophers' last trip to the national championship game. So, I don't know if you can draw any good omens or any, historical precedent or anything like that, but there is a little bit of history between these two teams, and going to be a lot of fans of both teams here, too.
All right, a little bit about the building, Shields Arena in Fargo. Looks like a really nice rink.
Yeah, about 5,000 seats, maybe a little more. The Fargo Force, their USHL team, plays here. And I can't help but think when I come in here, Steve, this building was built, I want to say, 15 years ago or so. Well, about a decade ago, maybe a little more than that, Minnesota State Moorhead made a strong push that they were going to try and add Division I hockey. They would have played at Shields Arena. They needed to raise, I want to say, $30 million to make it work, and they couldn't quite get to that number. Think 10, 12 years ago, we were just coming out of a recession. There wasn't that kind of money for people to donate. So in the end, they couldn't make it work. But I can't help but think, what might have been if Minnesota State Moorhead would have become a Division I program and given the Fargo Moorhead area Division I hockey? Because, with 3 colleges here, I think it's long overdue that one of them gets a big-time hockey program.
Yeah, and I would wonder, any talk about NDSU going that route? Because right up I-29, there are tribals, North Dakota, and they kind of give and take. NDSU made the move to D1, and North Dakota eventually followed. Is there any momentum there?
I don't think there's a lot of momentum for it right now. And I tell you, Steve, the biggest thing, you talk about the rivalry. It's not only the schools that are rivals, but it's the communities that are rivals as well. It's kind of a civic rivalry between Grand Forks and Fargo. Well, let's be honest. If NDSU adds a hockey team, and they could do it, obviously it's a good school. They draw a lot of players from Minnesota to come there, and they would be a destination program. But let's be honest. For the first 5 years, Bison Hockey is going to have a rough go of things, and they're going to play North Dakota, and those scores are going to be pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
And I think that's more than the egos of the Fargo hockey people could handle right away. So I think that's maybe one thing holding the idea back, because they certainly have a facility where they could play. It's a good school. They're, you know, they would be a natural fit, I would think, in a conference like the NCHC eventually. But I don't hear a lot of momentum for it right now.
Jess Myers joining us from the rink live on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. One of the big events today is regional final, St. Cloud State and Minnesota, the number one overall seed from Shields Arena in Fargo, the winner to the Frozen Four. One game already underway, Cornell and BU there in the first. That would be the first team to get through to the Frozen Four. And when you look at the interest in this, I guess the only thing is you get these regionals, and then there's another layoff. And you and I alluded to that when Minnesota had, you know, clinched the Big Ten regular season title and a first-round bye in the tournament, and they were going to sit around. There is a layoff between this regional final and when you play again. And I don't know if I'm a huge fan of that.
I was looking at the calendar today, Steve. I think it's about 10 days I'll be in Tampa, which, you know, everybody looks forward to. And it's honestly been mentioned. They've had two Frozen Fours in Tampa. They're going to have another one this year. It's honestly been mentioned that, you know, why not make Tampa a permanent site for the NCAA Hockey Frozen Four? Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning would object to that because the NHL team has to be out of its building for something like 5 or 6 days. And for a lot of teams, this is right at the time of year when you're pushing and trying to make the playoffs, and you don't want to have that many road games strung right in a row. So you're not going to see that where Tampa becomes the permanent host, but they do a great job of it. And I'll tell you, I don't mind the one-weekend layoff between the regionals and the Frozen Four, mostly for this reason. Next weekend is going to be the basketball Final Four for men and women.
Yeah.
And that's going to take center stage, and rightfully so. And you've got teams like Minnesota Duluth, which is going to play for the Division II national title in women's basketball. So a lot of attention will be focused there. I think the Frozen Four would get lost in all of that. So I don't mind pushing it back another week and kind of having that weekend to themselves to play the hockey championships.
All right, some thoughts on this game today. You mentioned St. Cloud State, stingy defensively. We know the Minnesota Golden Gophers like to get up and down the ice on Lake Mariucci, and I love that. I love that term for the big rink at 3M Arena at Mariucci, but I would assume an NHL-sized sheet advantage St. Cloud a little bit in this game.
Well, St. Cloud plays their home games on a big sheet as well. So
Yeah. You've
got two teams that are used to the big ice. I think the smaller sheet is maybe in a little advantage for the Huskies just because they play that more defensive style of game and there's not as much room to make plays. Now, with that said, the Gophers are the healthier team, and I don't think there's any question that the Gophers are the more talented team between these two. So take that for what you will. They played two great games back in January. In fact, the only team that has shut out the Gophers this season was Jackson Castor, who we talked about before, that St. Cloud State goalie. They won a 3-0 game up in St. Cloud, came back to Minneapolis the next night, and lo and behold, Logan Cooley gets an overtime winner, just a fantastically fun hockey game. So I love the fact that we get one more game between these two teams. I said the bad news is we're only going to get one Minnesota team in the Frozen Four. The good news is we're guaranteed to get one Minnesota team in the Frozen Four.
Yeah, and final thought on that, Jess. Has there been any griping about that they put Minnesota State, St. Cloud State, and number one overall seed Minnesota in Fargo?
There has been some griping about it. The one place I think it was good is the crowds were fantastic for the first game, and I think you'll get a sellout crowd, and they'll be enthusiastic here today. So as tough as it is to know that at best one Minnesota team is going to come out of that regional, I don't mind, I guess, the guarantee that one way or another we're going to have a group of Huskies fans or a group of Gophers fans down in Tampa, you know, wearing the golf shirts, going to the game. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right, Jess, finally, how do people follow you in game today? What's the easiest way to do it?
I am at the rink live. Yeah, at Jess R. Myers. I'll be tweeting during the game. And then therinklive.com, we've got a whole team of reporters and photographers here. We've got some great coverage. I did a story yesterday, Steve. Jeff Winslow, the trainer for the Gophers, guys who are kind of behind the scenes, don't get as much credit. Well, after what happened with the Buffalo Bills player collapsing, trainers are suddenly a lot more in the forefront, and Jeff's a fascinating guy. He's in his 14th year with the team and talked about some of the work he does, not only to keep their bodies in shape, but to keep their minds in shape when there's so much more emphasis on mental health for players.
All right, great work. Look forward to it. The Rink Live, Jess Myers joining us from Fargo. Always enjoy our chats.
Always good to talk hockey, Steve. Have a good weekend.
All right, there he is. Jess Myers from Fargo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.